Hey, happy Monday, Cyclone Nation. What's up? Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Here today, presented by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Never too late to get that March vasectomy, you know. I know the first and second round, second and third round, whatever the NCAA wants to call it. I know it's done, but now you can get even better. You can get a sweet 16 vasectomy. How's that sound? Sit around, ice your boys, watch the 16 best teams in the country go at it. What sounds better than that, Rob Gray?
You really think these are the 16 best teams in the country?
No, but according to what the...
I think you should ice your boys with a fine IPA. You could do double duty. You could have your beer ice cold.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, I don't know.
Do you haven't had a vasectomy, right?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, how, because according to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, it's not that big of a deal.
No, it doesn't sound like it is at all.
A little snip, snip.
It sounds, I know they've done it on other radio shows. I think Murph and Andy,
yeah.
They broadcast from the place.
Yeah, Andy was broadcasting during his vasectomy.
So, man, I mean, come a long way.
Yeah.
Get in there if you need it or want it.
IAMenCenter.com. To quote Rob Gray, get in there if you want it.
Or need it or want it, yeah. Just a...
Oh, shoot.
Probably not usually an elective sort of procedure. In the sense, nose job.
Catching my 5:45 flight from Louisville on Friday, I felt like I had received a vasectomy, Rob. I felt like the clothes.
So you didn't really feel anything, in other words. It was
just numb.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That was not cool.
Yeah.
Well,
worst game of the year. Well, watching it from afar was even, I mean, I can't, so, because I've been in both situations, right, where you're watching it live versus watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And I found that sometimes it's really weirder, you know, whether it's a great game or a terrible game, as this one was, sometimes it feels stranger or more bizarre or more electric, you know, whatever the situation is, watching it on TV than it does live, just because of what you're doing while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the live aspect really allows it to sink in. Whether it's one of those highs like in Kansas City with all the comebacks and or the lows like you saw it at Louisville, the ultra deep lows. It was just bizarre watching it on TV. I mean, there was it just I feel like when you're there you get more of that sense that okay, this is, we've seen this before, they're going to turn it on. But when you're removed from that atmosphere, you just sort of are watching it and saying they're really not going to do it.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you saw the tweet that I put out about 5 minutes before the game, and it was something along the lines of really concerned about energy. They're going to have to get off to a good start, which they did, mm-hmm. ironically.
Yep.
But I would, Rob, that arena was half empty.
Yeah.
And my concern at that point was UAB, you know, none of those guys had played in a game there in the tournament.
Yep.
They were fired up. But they were rattled too early, which Iowa State had an opportunity early in that game to step on that. I'm sorry, they're not a good team.
Yeah.
UAB's not good.
No, not at all.
They didn't lose to Georgia State. Georgia State's twice the team that UAB mm-hmm. is.
Yep.
UAB shot 34%.
That Brown kid is
he's
is
a chucker.
Legit.
Yeah, he's a chucker.
Because he scored it against UCLA too. But
he reminded me of watching like Eddie House back in the day at Arizona State, where you knew he was going to shoot it X mm-hmm. amount of times.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not a great comparison because Eddie House is an NBA player, but you know what I mean. Mike Taylor is probably a decent example.
A poor man's Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's basically what Cornell Mann called him in my interview with him. Iowa State outshot.
Yeah.
UAB and lost.
But you get killed on the boards like that. I thought it was bad at halftime when it was 9-1 or whatever on the offensive glass, and then they get 10 more in the second half. They had good defense. I know Hoiberg mentioned it on the radio and in the post game with you guys on the initial possession, the initial segment of the possession. And then, of course, you can't get your transition going because you're not hitting the defensive boards, which they've been able to do.
And that's how they make their
exactly
comebacks.
Exactly, in most of the year. And, I mean, the weirdest thing about it is they never fell deeply behind.
No.
Yet they could never mount a run of any length because they couldn't rebound.
It was a
sad, very sad, by the way, for Dustin Hogue to go out with 0 points. I don't know what happened to him on the rebounding side of things, but Jameel McKay was the only guy who could rebound in that game, period, for the Cyclones.
He was really the only guy with energy.
I think
Matt Thomas. Thank God for
Thomas
Matt Thomas.
Was fantastic.
If you don't have Matt Thomas, you lose by double digits.
Oh, the sparks he created in the first half?
He kept them in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what I'm saying about Dustin, I wasn't wanting to kill him about the 0 points because, you know, he goes out last year, scores 34, virtually carries them into the Elite Eight on his own. And he just didn't have it that day, just as the team didn't. It kind of typified the team, and I could see the emotion. You were there to see him and everything. How much, you know, energy got, how much he poured into being here. I mean, a guy from Yonkers, New York, goes to Indian Hills Community College. What an unlikely journey, and what a tremendous career he had for the most part. But that kind of day that he had, seemed to sort of exemplify the day that Iowa State had.
Based off of what the thought was, Dustin Hogue overachieved in his career.
By probably 2-3 times?
At least.
Or many-fold, maybe?
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
I mean, I know they never envisioned that he could shoot the three.
No. They thought he was a I remember, like, Rashawn Clark talking about defense.
Yep.
And a good athlete.
Yep.
Can't shoot much. Not going to be able to handle the ball, which he never really could handle the basketball. Mm. But He was an offensive. He was part of the offense. I mean, they're not running plays through him, but they needed a shot. Dustin hit a lot of important shots this year.
Yeah, he did. Had the block against Oklahoma State, and you know that preserved that win.
Yeah, though, Rob, that locker room though, man. I tell you what, last year after they lost to UConn, it was like, hey,
yeah,
damn it, we gave a great effort.
Mm-hmm.
Niang wasn't out there. We've got a lot to look forward to. 2 years ago in Dayton, George was demoralized, if you remember that, but still it was like, hey, we were, what were they, a 7 or 10? They were 10 seed that year when they beat Notre Dame on that Friday night, and then they should have beaten Ohio State. You know, the call got messed up on, and then Babb got hurt. I mean, that was but still it was like, man, you know what, a nice effort. Nobody expected them to beat Kentucky the year before in Louisville, but I've never covered anything like it, and there's an aspect of this where I know fans are upset, and that's rightfully so. I mean, it was a demoralizing end of the season. I've never – the part of Cinderella that you never see it on SportsCenter highlights. You never see it in one shiny moment.
Yeah.
That part of Cinderella, around guys we know, we get to know these guys, and you keep a distance because it's your job.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, to see, you know, Dustin Hogue tearing up and to see I'm just trying to think – Jameel McKay tearing up because he's not going to play with his best friend Dustin Hogue again.
Mm-hmm.
That locker room I can't even describe. Like, it was a you saw a group of guys who were looking around thinking, man, what have we just blew a great opportunity.
Yeah. Was it that – because, yeah, I can recall the UConn locker room, and there was obviously sadness and to some degree dejection because they knew what they could have done. But there was that if George had not got hurt. In this case, they had all the guys, and they just had to have looked at themselves and said, how did we let this happen?
Every
and
one of them.
That's got to be the worst part of it.
Every one of those guys blamed himself.
Yeah, and that's been their MO all year.
Yeah.
I mean – most games, Nazlon gets those looks from three. He's not 2 of 9. He's 5, 6 of 9.
Yeah.
Because they were great looks. And the look at the end.
Yeah.
Right on, just about probably a quarter of an inch, 3/8 of an inch short.
Yep.
I mean, and then George getting in there in the paint. It sort of – and they played against length all year. So, you know, a couple 6'8", 6'9", athletic UAB guys that can't do anything except contest shots, more or less.
Yeah.
I don't think that was all of it. They were discombobulated.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't operate the same way as they'd like. And it's funny, you saw in the next game, UCLA forced tempo on UAB. They hit shots, for one thing.
Yeah.
And didn't turn it over as much and, you know, blew the Blazers out. So, and then killed him on the board. So, mm-hmm. you can't people always like to make game-to-game comparisons. We beat blank and they beat blank. You can never do that because I guarantee you Iowa State goes toe-to-toe with UCLA on the boards. Yet UAB out-rebounded by, what, 15? And yeah. UCLA killed UAB on the board. So just a very, very sad game. It sounds like the guys, though, you know, they're very good at drawing motivation from things, and they're very good at, I think, looking deep inside themselves and drawing out the best. And the core guys you got coming back, as sad as you, as I hope fans are for guys like Dustin Hogue, who you know, did a lot for this program, and you know, Bryce DeJohn Jones with all the
Bryce DeJohn Jones was a problem on Thursday.
That was evident.
And I've tried to. Because in Kansas City, he was great.
Yep.
His body language was awesome. Yep. He did what they asked. That was not the case on Thursday. I don't know if you saw that halftime video where he's in the background cussing when Hoiberg's doing the interview. Like, I don't know what his deal was on Thursday.
Yeah.
But he clearly – that you want to know why – I had so many people, why didn't Fred play him in the second half? I mean, that's our reason why. I mean, Fred said, like, I was going with – and Fred's not going to throw his guy under the bus.
That's what he said before, too. When he didn't play in the second half at Kansas, I think the deal, I defended the guy in these podcasts all the time, and I still think he faced some undue scrutiny and all this and that. But nonetheless, you get in that situation, you turn the ball over twice, you force a shot in the first half, you know where that's going.
Yeah,
you know where that's going. And then if you then go to the bench and act like you're, you know, disinterested, to put it mildly, and Fred did it at Kansas, where he came out and pressed and missed a ton of shots. No, he did come on later in that game, I guess. But the other games, you know, Oklahoma, I'm thinking of actually the second half and the comeback. You sit him.
Yeah.
What does he say? We went with the guys we were going with.
Yeah.
He can tell when he was disengaged.
Yeah.
He was disengaged, except I guess when he was cussing about.
I just don't know why, how you were disengaged in your only NCAA tournament berth of your career.
Yeah.
That's my old deal with it, but whatever. I'm not here to throw him under the bus today, but I think we're lying to our listeners if we don't mention the fact that he was a problem on Thursday. And again, I think Bryce comes off worse than he is usually, because he's just not a guy who's going to smile a lot.
Yeah.
And he's not an emotional guy. He's going to go around and give everybody high fives. That's just not him, and I'm fine with that. There are a lot of guys, great Cyclones of the past, who they're not everybody's cut like George Niang, where you can read their emotions just by looking at – you know what I mean?
Yep.
Bryce is not that way, but it did not come off well on Thursday.
No, if he comes out and plays – type of game he had been playing most of the time since being relegated to the six-man role, they win that game, in my opinion. If he plays,
they needed one guy to step up.
If he comes in, he plays 18 to 22 minutes, scores 6-7 points, gets 4 or 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, even has the 2-3 turnovers, they win that game because his energy affects it. And I like what you noted about the game. UAB is used to playing without a whole lot of fans around.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the arenas they play in aren't that big, and they probably got really nice fan support, particularly in the wake of what they did to their football program.
They really did. Their crowd was good. They had a nice little crowd there.
But at the same time, you know, it's not always 15,000, 17,000, 18,000 screaming fans like the Iowa State has at home and at the Sprint Center. You saw that at Texas. You know, all these games where there's no energy in the building.
There's a reason why every year Iowa State plays better in Allen Fieldhouse than it does in Lubbock.
Mm.
You're playing a much better team.
Yep.
But they feed off this group. I would rather throw them in Lexington, Kentucky, getting booed and cursed at than TCU.
Yeah.
Or Texas Tech or, you know, Colorado back in the day. Like, that's why I was so concerned from pre-tip. Rob, I can't even explain to you. I walked out to the KFC Yum Center. I hadn't been in the arena. It was probably 45, half hour before tip. And I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but I'm thinking, wow. Because last year, the NCAA tournament in San Antonio, there was actually a really nice crowd. You had all these Creighton and Nebraska fans who were rooting for Iowa State. You had Iowa State fans who were rooting for Creighton. You know what I mean? It was actually a pretty lively arena.
It really was,
Dayton, people, we want to make fun of Dayton all we want, But those people from Dayton show up,
yep.
and they're loud, and they love basketball. This place was dead because Kentucky was playing later at night, and those are the people who bought the tickets. And the second session was like SMU and UCLA. Well, that's not a big fan contingency. I mean, Iowa State fans turned out okay. And UAB's, I think, turned out really well.
But you don't have any of the buzz just around the event locally.
Absolutely nothing. It's not an excuse. It's a reason. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason. And this Iowa State team has had problems in this type of an atmosphere all season long. It's not a surprise to me the first game of the tournament that they came out and were very flat.
No, not at all. They usually find a way to revive themselves, though.
Yep, and they didn't do it.
It just didn't happen. They needed to get the transition going, and they couldn't because they couldn't prevent UAB from getting second and third opportunities throughout the game. It was just one of those bizarre games, but it happens to everyone. It's no solace to the Iowa State fan that knew this team was capable of at least as deep a run as last year. And I mean, they were as capable a team when they were on as last year's team to go and beat anyone. But it fell by the wayside like it did for Baylor.
Yeah.
Like it later did for Villanova. Couldn't get out of the first weekend. It just happened. So the Kansas – I saw that game. That was intriguing. Yeah, no upside for Kansas to ever play Wichita State, so they play them in the tournament.
This is good because I wanted to go on to more broad tournament conversation right here. That Kansas-Wichita, I said all last week on the radio, man, this is a brutal draw for Kansas because not only do you have an underseeded team in Wichita, they're better than a 7.
Yes.
You have an underseeded team who has a chip on its shoulder and hates your guts.
Yep.
That's a terrible –
and they want to play you more than anything, but you see no upside in it, so you're never going to schedule them in the regular season.
Correct. I mean, this is totally like – it's the exact same scenario, but probably times about two, as if Iowa State or were to see you and I this year. You know, you and I, all they hear about all year long is Iowa State. But again, times it by two because you have a Wichita program that's been to Final Fours, and then Kansas is one of the blue bloods of college basketball.
Yep.
And on top of it, I know they won the Big 12. But this is not your typical Kansas team either. It's why I didn't pick them to get out of the first weekend of the tournament. They don't have that guy who, like a Wiggins, where you watch him do two or three things in a game. And you go, I can't stop him, no matter what I do. Man, that just a brutal draw for the Jayhawks. But I'm not surprised whatsoever that they lost.
No, I picked Wichita State too. I made a lot of mistakes in what I chose to, and I'm sure a lot of other people did too. You know, didn't have Villanova going out the way they did, and. You know, some of those regions just more or less imploding. I'm sure a lot of people picked Izzo.
I had Izzo there,
To keep going against a Virginia team that had been banged up late in the regular season, but got Anderson, got guys back that had been hurt, but clearly not 100% as they'd hoped. Just a typical NCAA tournament, though. You know, those ones where you just look at it. It's just, in this case, for Fanatics, this is it includes their team. You know, it makes I know I read a lot of tweets of people saying I'm not watching the rest of the tournament. I'm still excited about the tournament and enjoy watching the games, but I can understand that sentiment. I mean, when you know what the team you root for is capable of and they go out, you know, how pumped up are you gonna get for is Georgetown gonna get upset? Oh, they were, oh great, you know.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I get it. Kirk Holland wrote a really nice piece. Have you read Kirk's piece today?
I've not yet.
Yeah, go and check it out. Kirk's, I think, what I appreciate about Kirk's work, a couple things. One, it's always well thought out, and it always has some fact based around it. Like he it's not his just opinion. He provides numbers to back that opinion usually. Two, he's a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You and I approach it a little bit differently than others, but Kirk's straight a fan. And I think what Kirk wrote today will really resonate with a lot of people. He talks a lot about that, like watching the tournament and all that stuff, and how do you view this season. So I thought he did really nice work, so I'd encourage people to check that out at CycloneFanatic.com today. Another part of Thursday that sucked, I thought, for Iowa State fans was the Big 12 sucking. more or less.
Yeah.
But they rebounded a little bit, getting Oklahoma and West Virginia into the Sweet 16. Now, full disclosure, I only had two Big 12 teams getting out of the first weekend on my own. Mm-hmm. I had Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I didn't have Kansas.
I had Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Baylor getting out.
Okay. But... Yeah, I may have had Baylor, too, actually, now that I think twice about it. Yeah, I did.
I had Baylor to the Sweet 16, Iowa State to the Elite Eight, Oklahoma to the Sweet 16.
So, I mean, what's your – as far as the conference strength of – the conference strength and all that, do you how much stock do you put in the tournament?
I was listening, you know, that crazy day. You know, I wrote the road recap, which it's kind of easier than having to see the emotional locker room and all that, but at the same time, you want to see that when you write something. So I got that done. Had to take my daughter to allergy shots, by the way. Got stopped by TV reporters on the way back.
You got stopped by TV reporters?
Yeah. About the speed traps that the sheriffs are putting out everywhere.
Did you answer?
I did. I guess I was a true media guy. I was saying to myself, are you kidding me? There they are at the stop sign. But anyway, long story short, that happens. Channel 13. And then I'm going back and I kind of lost my train of thought now that I was thinking about that. The whole conference thing.
Yeah, the conference.
I heard you guys on the KXNO Sports Fanatics. And
thanks for listening.
I do my best.
4 to 7 weekdays.
I've got a special little Arbitron or whatever the hell it is thing, and I
good.
Hit buttons on it. That's it gives like extra numbers.
That's what I like to hear. We appreciate that.
It's got a little antenna with tinfoil on it. I'm sorry. Anybody, I put absolutely no – I am extremely annoyed at people that decide –
well, that conference clearly sucked because they lost 3 games. How many teams are they going to have in the Final Four?
Yeah.
Those people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, my conference is great. Look at that. We got this team winning, this team winning. I guess if you were to judge on what we got going in the Sweet 16, no question, you take all the conferences combined, put them all together, line them in a row, and the Pac-12 is going to just take out every team. Over and over again. They've lost one game, I believe. Oregon finally lost. They gave Wisconsin a great fight.
Yeah.
So the Pac-12, anoint them right now. By far the best conference in America this season. And if, let's say, who's going to have the most teams in the Final Four?
Probably the ACC.
Yeah, they have it again. Well, then I guess you'll have to say the ACC is by far the best conference in the country. And then let's extrapolate it even further. Who wins the national title? Because if it's how many teams move on in the tournament and don't get beat, well, then naturally wouldn't it follow that the team that wins a national championship absolutely 100% comes from the best conference in America?
Yeah.
It just makes – it's nonsense. It's nonsense when you have hundreds of games.
Yeah.
And you have non-conference – record against non-conference opponents, record against ranked opponents, all these elements that form a huge database, and then you take – these, what, how many weekends? You could take basically a month of, less than a month of basketball.
Basically,
and you're going to say, my conference is this. And it drives me nuts. Well, first of all, I don't know why people care that much about which conference is the best, but that's a different story.
I agree with you for the most part. I don't completely throw out what happens, but I would lean towards your opinion as well. And my biggest thing, I compare it to bowl games. There's just so many elements, you know, that comes into these postseason games and in both sports. And that doesn't necessarily – I mean, I don't think you can just throw out what happens in the tournament and in a bowl game, but I also think that there's – like you said, it's not this, like, cut and clear answer. What happens in the NCAA tournament based off of – you know what I mean? Like, the Big 12, for instance, has 10 teams. So – 7 of them, like 70% of your league, made it to the NCAA tournament. That's got to count for something. As far as when you're playing a true round robin, like, is the NCAA is the best conference the deepest? Like with the, because if that's the case, the Big 12 is. 70% of the league was in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Or is the best conference the one with the top?
The 2 or 3 teams.
Yeah, like I don't know. It depends on the conversation you're having. But I would lean more towards you. And again, I guess I didn't have very high expectations all year. I thought the Big 12 was a deep league, a probably the best league in the country based off of that. And if you look at the RPI and any of that stuff, it would back the Big 12 as being the best league in basketball. But I didn't think any of the Big 12 teams had a shot to win a national championship all year long. I did not think Kansas would.
No.
Always thought Iowa State and Oklahoma would be better tournament teams than Kansas would be. Baylor really snuck up on me. I didn't see that happening. I absolutely did not see West Virginia making it out to the Sweet 16. I'll take my hat off to Bob Huggins. I was wrong about his program and his team. He's done an amazing job over there in Morgantown. But, yeah, I mean, I hope the Big 12 can continue to win a couple of games just so that rhetoric can – it's quieted a little bit, I thought, with Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Sure.
Wedding.
But, I mean, I want to make clear that I don't think it's immaterial what happens in the tournament. But
no,
if
I get
but
it.
If you're going to, A, care whether – Conference A is better than Conference B or better than B, C, and D, and A and E or better. If you're really going to care and invest your time into thinking about it, why in the world would you be – I mean, Atlantic 10, they've had a hell of a tournament.
Yeah.
Or should they be in the conversation
as the
best conference in America?
Yeah.
I mean, Villanova ruined – you know, they're obviously a terrible league. So, I mean
– it's horrible.
It's just people grasping that – really care about that. So I guess my gripe was my diatribe was a little bit two-pronged there.
No, it wasn't.
I mean,
it was fine.
No, I'm two-pronged in the sense that A, I don't understand why people get that wrapped up into who's the better conference, and B, then when they do get that wrapped up, they decide to pick and choose whatever suits their interest.
We
did well in the tournament, but versus non-conference opponents are in the year with the fifth best league. If you have two really strong teams, you could have a great tournament run.
And let's not forget that in reality, the NCAA tournament is not a good tool to find the best team in college basketball.
No. As you said, too many variables.
Yeah, UConn was not the best team in college basketball last year.
No.
It wasn't. I mean, they won the tournament. Great. They're the national champions. I'm not taking that away from them. It's not the best team in college. But if Iowa State and UAB were to play a best of seven like the NBA does it, who do you think wins? Even if Iowa State loses game one, who do you think wins? Iowa State wins that. If Baylor and Georgia State were to play a best of – you know what I mean? So this is what let's not forget, the NCAA tournament does not do a very good job of finding a true national champion.
This year they probably will. They find the champion of the NCAA tournament is what they find.
Yes.
And who doesn't go on runs? I mean, good Lord, I mean – usually not mentioned on this podcast, but Iowa had one of the most impressive performances of the first round. That's a good Davidson team. They beat by 31 points.
Mm-hmm.
Then they revert, and they get rolled by a really good Gonzaga team. So, I mean, the last thing I'll say about the conference strength thing, if being determined by NCAA tournament results, Missouri Valley was a bad league this year.
Yes.
They had two really, really good teams in Wichita State and UNI. A few decent teams, Illinois State, Indiana State's okay.
Yep. Illinois State's really young and talented, but they're not there yet.
And the bottom half of the conference, bad teams. Teams that
– awful teams, like RPI is in like the upper 200s.
Yes, yes. Now, they were this much closer. If UNI is a good effort late last night – having as many teams in the Sweet 16 as the Big 12. Are you really going to say the Missouri Valley was as good a league, if you're looking at it in an objective sense, as the power of the league as a whole as the Big 12?
I had some chump on Twitter trying to convince me of that on Thursday night.
See, and that's just people, A, that are concerned about the wrong things.
It was a UNI fan.
I mean, they should be proud of their team and all that, but I mean, why not just be proud of your team?
Yeah.
You know, if Iowa State makes the Final Four, I couldn't give – and this is the example, I think, that goes with it. If they make the Final Four, I don't think anybody gives a crap about what anybody says about the Big 12. Or if you're a Michigan State – or not me, that's a bad example because no one would care. Say you're an Iowa fan. Do you care – sometimes people care about the power of the Big 10. If you make it to the Final Four, you care what anybody says about how powerful the Big 10 is. No.
Yeah.
It kind of is determined by where your team's at. And then you revert, oh, well, my conference, though. Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been in a screed on that whole deal.
No, I'm glad we let you get that off of your chest.
Yep. I'm good now.
All right. Let's wrap this up. And we appreciate your contributions, Rob. Later in the week, I want to do a podcast on next year in scholarships in the basketball program. We'll talk about that later in the week. I'm Chris Williams. He's Rob Gray. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Shout out to Kyven Gadson, man.
Oh, yeah. We should probably hit on Kyven Gadson.
Got his ice cream.
I completely forgot about that.
Got his ice cream. I thought going into that tournament he was going to win it. Thought Iowa State as a team might get some more points, but some tough draws in there too. But two pins, Tech fall, major decision.
Great and interview
one, and one
plain
old decision. And yeah, and
that was a great quote.
It was a perfect quote because what those guys deny themselves from a diet aspect, from even sometimes a relationship aspect, everything.
It's their
pour
life.
Themselves into wrestling and. In most cases, academics, too.
That's their life.
That's it. It's the lifestyle. And to get that moment for him going through, you know, his dad, you know, passing away at the time of the Big 12s a couple of years back. I mean, tremendous.
You've covered him a long time. I know that you really admire him.
Yeah, I admired him when he was actually showing his creativity and his intellect on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired him even more when he said, I'm getting off of it and I'm just going to be an old soul, as he said. Maybe it's because I'm old. Thus an old soul.
You just had a birthday, Rob. How old did you turn?
I believe you said 70.
72.
70. No, I corrected you.
Oh, yeah. You said 72, yeah.
We'll just let that stand. We'll say I'm 72. But I definitely wanted to make sure that
that's good.
Kevin got those props there.
It was some much-needed good news.
Mm-hmm.
Or Iowa State. And then, a quick shout-out to the women's basketball team, too. That Dayton team that beat Kentucky, upset Kentucky
That's
in the second
That's a good basketball
round.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Iowa State was underseeded in that, or they were the bottom seed, weren't really expected to win. But it does make you feel better when the team that beat you goes on to do something else.
Yep.
That's what this UAB – UAB was one of the worst teams in that tournament.
Yeah.
And one of the worst teams in that – And that's what makes this suck so much. But, hats off to the women. Bill Finley's ninth straight NCAA tournament. That's a big deal. We've got Pro Day coming up tomorrow, Rob, with the football program. That'll be fun. I love Pro Day. It's one of my favorite days of the year. In that sense, I'm glad I'm actually going to be here. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. But I was like, oh, man, I got to miss Pro Day. Now I'll be trust me, I'd rather be in Houston. But, it's good to be able to do that. Thank you, Rob.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
We'll be back later in the week. We'll talk basketball scholarships and whatnot. Thanks for listening to the Mr. B. Excuse me. This is the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast, iamenscenter.com. So long.